Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tron. Han, how are you?
I am doing marvelous, Jim. Just absolutely excellent. Marvelous. How are you?
Excellent. Doing well. Obviously, this is Straight Talk. We are episode number 78, and it's a continuation for the last week's show where we ran out of time, which is not normal, right, Han? We ran out of time, too much to talk about. Tonight's topic is basically building finishes and construction, especially with the, getting back to open, dealing with the ongoing, what do we do with the COVID-19? What do we do with all the other stuff? We thought it pretty important to talk about this subject in depth. So we're going to do the whole show today about finishes and construction. You may say, really? You guys are going to take an hour? I said, honestly, Han, I think we got to move pretty quick if we're going to even get through majority of all the things that really when it comes to finishes, because there's just so much. There's so many things and so many aspects and so many criterias, and it's actually even gotten more complicated because now you have to deal with the whole issue of sterilization and disinfecting. So how'd you basically put it? I think you said you need in your back of your mind on everything that you do, whether you're doing a remodel, whether you're doing a new build, whether you're just looking at changing whatever you have on your floors, for example, right now, in the back of your mind, you have to think about how am I going to sterilize it? How am I going to disinfect? And what maintenance issues, if anything, I have to deal with? And it's different now. It really is different, isn't it, Han?
Yeah, actually, I think it's much more important now than ever. Throughout my career, I'm pretty sure Jim would agree too, is that one of the topics back in the back in the late 80s, when I'm involved in a project, they always one of the encouragement is that the owner and the design team always encourage that one of the members of the team is to be the group that maintain the building, the janitorial staff, so that they give you the input of what work and what doesn't, the amount of time, the amount of cost, and the step that they require for a certain type of floor and so on. So in the construction, in the design, I think the most important thing for a lot of people when they step into the building is the architecture and aesthetic, how wonderful it looks. But they never, they never look at and see how much time is involved to keep that pretty, to a level where it's presentable or where it gives you that wow factor you're looking for. So maintenance has always been a big issue, but I think mainly somewhat ignored. People often say, I got carpet. I'm just, I vacuum every day. So, what else is to do? If you look at the manufacturer written specification and recommendation for maintenance, they may encourage you to perhaps do a shampoo every 3 months. You vacuum in the morning, you vacuum in the afternoon, and so on. So they have an interval of maintenance. And so that there is really important. And I think, spending the time to talk about it in depth would only help you to, one is to get the best out of your investment for the product that you choose, you know, the type of product that would give you the performance, the durability, and things of that, you know, things of that nature, so that you're not buying something that looks great, maintain the heck, you know, spend so much time repairing it, and then replace it a couple of years down the road. Yeah.
And two, it all depends. It depends on when you're looking at what you're going to select. It depends on whether you're leasing and where you're at within that lease. If you own the building, where you're at within that particular arrangement, or if you're anticipating, you know, either, you know, selling your practice or you're just starting out, you just bought the practice. So it, all of those criteria come into factors. So let's jump into probably the biggest topic that we've always had so many questions around, and that's flooring. Okay, and flooring has different criteria for different locations within the building. Obviously, in the operatory, that's one criteria. The clinical corridor might be another criteria. Your staff area, you know, has a different set of criteria. Your lobby and entry area, and then of course your core area, your sterilization, your lab, and things like restrooms, those areas. So you know, you literally could have a different type of flooring in each one of those. And so you know, let's just jump right into Han. Let's talk a little bit about flooring in around the specific areas. So, first off, what do you think about carpet?
Well, let me be fair, and Jim's right. You can literally have a different flooring material in, you know, in every area of the office. The thing is, there's so many choices, so many options. One of the reasons why you have a single finished material throughout the building is because somebody convinced you that's the easiest thing to do. Okay, there is the appropriate material based on the use of the space. So, to answer Jim's question, I don't oppose carpet, but if it's a choice, that would not be my first choice. Carpet is it could be durable. I think the biggest selling point for carpet is it's easy on your feet, and it, you know, it absorbs noise, and it comes in various different type, color, pattern, and what have you. For me, the biggest downfall of carpet is that it's like a sponge. It sucks, and it kept everything in it. Okay? If you ever take a look at the fiber of the carpet, the fiber that woven together to make the carpet, it's interesting because it's hollow. Okay? And it can capture stain, spillage like wine, in the tubes, and you know it got that stain. It just holds so much, impurities, aggregates, that it's very difficult to actually truly clean, like resilient flooring or hard surface flooring. So I'm not a big major fan. It has its place. It does absorb sound, but there's a lot of other different things you can do.
You bring up that point, but the interesting thing, if you took a microscopic view of a carpet fiber and you take a microscopic view of a filter that you would put in your HVAC system, you'd be hard pressed to say which is which, because it's exactly
right.
The same. They both basically are exactly the same. They have those hollow little nooks and crannies that grab stuff, particles, pathogens, dust, allergens, bacteria, viruses, you name it, it gets grabbed and stuck in that carpet, and you've got to find a way to get it out. Now, in your filter, if it gets stuck in your filter, you take your filter, you put it in a disposable appropriate bag, and you discard it. You don't do that with carpet. You keep it. You usually keep it for several years, sometimes 5 or 10. And so it just, all that time is just gathering all of those things. Now, sweeping will get some of the stuff, but sweeping doesn't disinfect. Sweeping doesn't sterilize. So, you know, we talked about Germ 24 with Mark Bly. And you can go back and listen to the podcast about what his products are and what he can do, and obviously what there's an option there. But you have to have a maintenance program where you're effectively spraying down the carpet with this product to sterilize it. So it can be done. It's just a matter of you have to now, with viruses like COVID-19, you have to now do that. No longer can you just go by, like you say, and sweep in the morning and sweep in the afternoon and sweep at night and call it done. Doesn't work. UV light will kill it. You know, UV light will kill your pathogens within that. But you're not flooding your whole building with UV light at night for surface. Maybe you've only installed UV light in your ductwork. That's great for the air, but doesn't do anything for the floor. And I think, didn't we also find out in our research and criteria that the floor is probably one of the most contaminated area within the building? Because, you know, the water droplets fall to the ground because of gravity. They carry the pathogen, and they deposit it all over the floor.
Yeah, you know, the things we don't look at in terms of carpet is when you vacuum, you basically have a beater bar, you know, that little spinning brush. It kicks up everything, and hopefully your vacuum cleaner, the suction sucks up everything. It doesn't. Okay. When you walk across the floor, you basically, just the movement of your shoe over the floor, it breaks the fiber, okay? And it kicks the fiber, whatever is in the carpet, it kicks up a little bit. So just a human traffic in it causes the stuff inside your carpet that fall on your carpet to be picked up and kick up in the air. So, I mean, that happened all somewhat to hard surfaces too, because things drop down onto the floor, and the traffic within the building, it kicks it up and it moves it around and put up in the air again. Carpet is just a nasty thing. You don't change your carpet because it's very expensive. Okay, carpet can cost you $15, $20, $50 per square foot. So it's one of the things you put down for long term, but it requires a lot of maintenance.
It does. Let's jump into the next part of flooring and really get into the nitty gritty about what's the best floor to put in an operatory. We hear that question a lot.
Jim. Let me before we get into that. So let me just start out with this. Okay, you start at the front door. Okay, there is things that there's a strategy that you need to put in place to protect your building, the interior building. You don't just go, hey, I'm going to put down the floor and that's that. What happened at the front door? People bring stuff into your building. As soon as they open the front door, they bring it in. Whether it's the rain, whether it's snow, mud, whatever it is on their body. And on their shoe is brought into your building, and it would contaminate your building, and it affects the quality of the product on the floor. Okay, so regardless where you are located in the country, whether you have snow or no snow, I highly recommend you install. We are a strong advocate for a vestibule. But if you don't have a vestibule, at least a walk-off area. So as soon as, you know, there's a zone from the front door in, the carpeting or the flooring material, the walk-off carpet, that material should be rough enough that allow your visitor to knock off as much stuff on their shoe as possible before they bring it into the building, farther into the building. Okay? So whatever you want to use in your building, the first protection for the building should happen right at the front door as well as the back door. Okay? Because if they bring the stuff in and you want to capture it as much as you can right at the point of entry. Now, as far as
Han, just to clarify, you're talking about typically a walk-off carpet tile or a walk-off mat that's designed to be easily taken up and replaced and or taken up and extremely cleaned. It's not something you're talking about that you call the local uniform or the disinfectant
Correct.
Company that brings those, brings those mats out that, you know, they roll them up and take them away and put down another one, right?
You are correct. A walk-off carpet is basically a permanent or semi-permanent installation. Okay, an obvious sample is when you go to a place like Target, and you're a large shopping center, you look at the flooring material at the door. It's different than the material that are, 6 or 8 or 10 feet into the building. Okay, it's called walk off because
it's
that's where you walk off.
It's got a rough surface.
Yes. Okay. It comes in different format. Some have little grate that allow the water to drop in, but those are called walk-off grate. And then you have the walk-off carpet. It come in tile, or it come in broadloom. So, which means a single, a large single sheet. So tile allowed you to pick up the piece that been damaged or worn. To replace with new, but they're very durable. The whole main thing is, the whole purpose of that material is to basically knock off anything and everything, as much as of the stuff on the shoe as possible before they really truly get into the building. Okay, so the throwdown mats that Jim was talking about, you find in almost every place, especially place where they have snow. I am not a big fan of those because a lot of times they are, especially in the winter, they're usually just soaking wet. It's a trip hazard. If you design your flooring system correctly, the throw down mat isn't necessary. Jim?
And they're ugly. And they, honestly, they're just ugly. I mean, and then
yes,
you know, talk about, go back to our show when we talk about the first impression when somebody walks in. And especially now with the COVID-19 issue, what's the first impression about the sterilization or cleanliness? Is an ugly, crappy looking walk-off mat? Really? That's not an image of cleanliness. That's not an image of sterilization. That's an image of, ooh, crap. What's growing underneath this thing?
Even if somebody managed to convince you that it looks really cool, then you put your logo on the, on the throwdown mat. All right, I wouldn't. That's a waste of money in my opinion. It's ugly and it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Look
so
at
so now
Wayne.
we're in the building, Han. Okay, we're in the building. What do we, what's the next big surface, of course, is the corridor, the lobby, and the, you know, the public area there. What's your idea of building there, which then transitions all the way to the clinical space?
Yeah, I think there's two compromises. Okay, noise. And I know that, you know, the pitch is always, it's really noisy in a dentist's office. Yes, it is. You have a lot of activities. You have a lot of equipment that just, you know, the whining pitch of your handpieces and stuff. Maybe a patient that are a little bit too squirmish in the chair and they whine, they scream, whatever the situation, yes, it is noisy in the dentist's office. So the whole thing is, you know, carpet is the things that you use because it dampens the noise. Okay, I'm okay with that. But the maintenance of it is still a thing that you have to really look at and decide what's right for you, because your clinical corridor is an extension of your treatment area. So when you the big debate is, should I put doors on my open treatment room? If you can.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, if you
yeah,
can.
I answer yeah. I think the consensus is becoming more obvious for a lot of practitioners. Yes, the answer is yes. If they, you know, the future design will have doors. But even that, you're going to have aerosol that floats in the air. It's on your body that you carry around and drop off into the corridor. So do you want that? Do you want all of that to be captured in your carpet? Or you want that to be on a hard surface, whether it's resilient flooring, luxury vinyl flooring, something that you can mop or dust on a regular basis so that you have a clean floor rather than a floor that looks clean. Okay, so I would go, you know, I would treat it almost at the same level as the hospitals. A floor system that are installed with no seam that you can mop. You can dust, because vacuum, in my opinion, vacuum just kicks it up. And so vinyl flooring or sheet flooring that are higher performance that are made for healthcare would be my choice. You know, the vinyl plank, that is still a very popular material. I do believe it runs between $5 to $7 on average per square foot install. So it's economical. It comes in very different finishes, and it looks like, you know, wood or stone or whatever it is you want it to look like. But again, whether it's usually they're lay down, glue down. Let me say this again. Never install floating floor system in your dental office. Never. Okay? It's not the right kind of floor for your office. So if you glue it down the plank, there is four joints, four seams. Those seams are never tight. It's a seam. They call it a seam because it's an open span, you know, it's an open gap between two materials. So,
and remember, we're talking about microscopic particles. Go back to that criteria. How do you clean and how do you sterilize and how do you disinfect? But go ahead on.
Yeah, and you know, those seams are, you know, if you get out and you look at and you get a pick, you can scrape out a lot of crud, okay? They're just a crevice set for things to, be collected and harbor. So I would encourage that you look at a floor system where the seam can be welded together. There is a chemical well, and it's a physical heat well. I prefer the heat well. so that you have a, you know, a monolithic, flooring system, as few seam as possible. That would be the preference. Okay, so if we migrate into the treatment room, do the same treatment, as few seam as possible. Now, just because they are seamless type of flooring material, that doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice design aesthetic. Okay, there's a lot of things that can be done that can really wow your patient. Who doesn't want to have a nice looking office? So flooring, whatever you use, don't have to be sterile and ugly. Okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to have a monolithic floor material that's of all one color, and the hospital gray, let's just use that terminology, throughout your whole building, and basically is this yuck. You can do unbelievable patterns and color changes.
You can do a lot of design.
Designs, and especially with the weldable product. And when you say weldable, it actually has a welding stick of it's PVC is what it is, and they using a special application heat gun and welding unit, they will actually fuse the two pieces of material together with this welding stick of PVC that's heated up, and it becomes one continuous sheet. So there is no area for microscopic crap to get into. It's the best of both worlds. And you could have, if you wanted, you could have a purple color beside a yellow color or any other combination that you want. And you can get some unbelievably cool looking things. And it's not super expensive to do that. Not much at all.
In fact, if you actually want to say you have this floor and you want your logo to be part of the floor, you can have that done.
Yep, they laser cut.
Absolutely.
Cut your logo and drop it in the place and heat weld it in, and it's a you can do that. So there's just, well, let's put it this way: the ideas are endless, and as
yep.
designers, we would love to help you do that because it's fun. But you're right. I mean, that's an exceptional floor, and let's transition this a little bit to. From a cleanliness and a sterilization and disinfectant, if it's a hard surface like that, it's designed to be sterilized. You can clean that floor with whatever product you're using to sterilize your rooms with, and that floor will be sterile. And you will clean it up perfectly, and that's a good thing. You don't have to worry about crap being down there for months and days and years.
Now, when it comes to flooring, or just pretty much anything in your practice, from buying a dental chair versus investing into a dental chair, okay? They both cost money, but you're looking for quality, okay? You're not looking for cheap. The floor, when you come to flooring, it's a big investment because it costs a lot for flooring. If you're going to do a welding, type of flooring, the first sin that you want to commit is to put on those rubber base that they just kind of, stick on your floor. You want to go to what they call a cove or a flash base. Meaning they take the same flooring material and they run it up the wall about 4 to 6 inches. So it's a continuous, there's no beam or gap or crevices at the base of the, at the junction of the wall and the floor. Okay, so it's a little bit more, it costs a bit more, but it allowed you to have a much nicer, floor finish, and a lot easier to clean, a lot easier to keep clean. Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. And that can be a different color. It doesn't have to be the same color as your floor material. So, your possibilities are kind of endless there, but that's an important point, because just throwing down any kind of base, you effectively create a nice fat crevice for all kinds of junk to get into. And how are you going to keep it clean? You can't. And so you can't keep it sterile. You can't disinfect it. So you could flood everything with germ 24, that's a lot of work. Not that it's a bad thing. And if that's what you're stuck with and that's what you have, then that's what you have to do. But we're talking about the idea of, well, we're going to be remodeling, or if we're going to do a new build, what would you do there? Now, quickly, Han, because we've already gone through half the show time and we haven't even got out of floors yet. There are a lot of other floors that are out there. You've got wood floors, you've got pre-finished wood floors, you've already talked about plank flooring, and the no, don't go to any floating floor. There's linoleum, there's cork, there's ceramics, you call them luxury ceramic tiles, and then there's actual like porcelain tile, tile products and that kind of stuff. Let's kind of just quickly go through some of those things and see what the good and the bad and the ugly.
What I think the biggest, all this material, all the tile materials and stuff like that, first they're cost a little bit more. Okay. You don't have, again, you don't have to sacrifice on aesthetic at all. Because tile products have been around for, gosh, 1,000 years or so plus?
Yeah.
Been around a long time. Okay.
Okay.
So if you have, my I guess for me, from a design standpoint, I myself do not like grub joints. Okay? I just don't. So I try to minimize as much as possible. When you look at four that are ceramic or porcelain, they are a hard surface. They're a little bit noisier. I think some of the concern is if you, let's say you have it in your treatment room, and you drop your hand tools, more likely it would damage it. If you drop a crown, it could damage it. So, a ceramic tile or porcelain tile floor within your treatment room, it's questionable. Okay, it's great. It's easy to clean. That is, if the grout is tight. A flooring where it's comparable to a ceramic or porcelain tile floor that has no seam would be terrazzo, because it's a monolithic floor. But that's also a pretty expensive flooring. They do make them in tile format, so you can have that if you want. But use your porcelain ceramic tile sparingly. You tend to see it more in a hot climate versus the the snow belt. I'm concerned if there is tile in a office that's located in, let's say, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, or a state where you have snow. Because naturally, the snow, when you bring it into the building, down your shoe, it turns into water. Water on hard surface like that is majorly dangerous. Let me see. If you ever fall on those floors and they ring your bell, you'll never forget it. It rang mine. Okay. So I'm a little bit, I have a tile phobia, I guess. But it's it's a durable product. I'm not saying that you should discount it, but you have to look at cautiously and see how that works out so that it serves you but doesn't create a dangerous environment for you and your staff.
Okay. Yeah? Now, the one thing that is a very, very durable, beautiful floor is in fact, a terrazzo floor. Well, a terrazzo floor is a floor that's poured. It's got marble and whatever aggregate in it with a whole bunch of epoxies and binders. And basically, they pour this floor out, spread it out to a certain thickness, and then they grind the whole thing smooth to give it that luxury, smooth, polished look. And that's a great floor. You can have an extremely sterile floor, and you can clean it, you can disinfect it. The only problem with it is you almost always have to put that over a concrete floor slab. You really have very little chance of it surviving putting it over top of a OSB, like on a crawl space or a basement or on a second floor. So that kind of limits you. You pretty much have to put it over top of a concrete slab. So if you've got a slab on grade, then that's an opportunity. Now, the one thing about all these flooring systems, and Han, you were talking about it when we started the show, before we started the show, is that you have to put down the particular floor, whatever you select, in the manner that the manufacturer requires in their written specification. You have to use the right adhesive. You have to put it down on the right substrate, meaning, if you're putting it down on a concrete floor, it has to be concrete, has to be of this temperature, has to be of this water saturation, has to basically age. And so that, and you have to use these particular primers, and you have to use this particular adhesive, and this is how you do it. You don't follow that, and you do something else, or you let your contractor say, oh, I do it this way. You've blown your warranty. You basically are stuck with that product. Whatever happens, that's what you get. And that holds true for just about any floor system out there, doesn't it?
One more thing, not just material. Yes, the answer to Jim's question is yes. Because a lot of time warranty are contingent to you, meaning the contractor, following the instructions right to the T. Okay? One of the things that could affect your warranty is that the installer, sometimes the manufacturer, require that the installer to be factually certified, meaning that they're trained by the manufacturer. So if you have somebody that, been laying floor for 30 years and they're not certified, and when the time to come, if there's any warranty issue, that will void your warranty because it was not installed by somebody that are certified. Some manufacturer will require that once it's installed, that they certify it before they issue the warranty document. So all those little detail matters, okay? Before we went on the air, Jim and I were talking about flooring system and so on. We have project that's under construction, so with that, and there's a lot of good contractor, and the contractor would say, we can just go down to the big box and buy a flooring adhesive, and we start install things. Well, if you buy a adhesive meant for vinyl composite tile or VCT, that's the tile that you see in the old buildings, they're 12x12, like in your school and locker room and all that stuff. If you use that type of adhesive for a luxury vinyl plank, you void the warranty because it's the wrong kind of adhesive. Okay, so make sure that everybody on your team follow the instructions that the manufacturer recommended. Otherwise, they will void the warranty for you. Jim?
Exactly. So again, there's a ton of other options, and actually we could spend the rest of the show just talking about those other options. So, you know, talk with your architect, talk with your designer, talk with the contractor to get the possibilities and the options, but mostly follow the criteria that the manufacturer says so that you don't get yourself into trouble. Let's jump into, do you want to do countertops or walls, Han? What do you like? Because we're not going to get both of them, so.
No, we can touch a wall really, really quickly, Jim. Okay? Walls. Yeah. Well, we talk about your standard wall. You know, you got your metal stud or your wood stud, and you have your chipboard, you know, you tape it, you paint it, whatever, okay? Those are not your only options, okay? There are the mountable wall, which are wall assembly that you can erect and take down and reuse, okay? Check with your CPA on this. A lot of times, you know, one of the debate about cabinetries is that if you buy the cabinet are made by the dental people, the dental manufacturer, you can write off because it's considered furniture. If you have it made by your local cabinet shop, you can't write off because it's not considered furniture. Wall system also have that particular aspect. Is that there is wall system that are, you know, that comes in frame. They basically like your storefront. They're, you know, they're metal frame. You put it up, you put the glass in, or you put a solid panel in, and you have a wall. And those can be taken down. They are considered furniture. Okay, you can write them off. So wall don't have to necessarily be just metal studs and drywall. It can be all glass, wood frame or without frame. So if you have, you know, so when you build a wall, you're trying to separate two spaces. But then there are other things that come into play. How do you protect the wall? You know, if the wall if it's in a corridor and you need to protect to keep it from getting banged up or beat up and stuff like that, what do you do? You know, typically you can paint it naturally. That's the cheap way, cheap thing. You can do vinyl wall covering, which is a lot thicker. It's, you know, commercial stuff is pretty thick, pretty durable. There is high performance coating. There is wall protection that you can put on, but that's somewhat extreme. Because that's what you see at hospital, because you got gurney and stuff like that. But let me see, drywall come into numerous of different products that fit a specific need. In other words, if you have carts that you run through your hallway and stuff, perhaps look at a impact resistant type of drywall. They're much more durable. It has a Kevlar, face sheet that resists impact and dents and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things you can do to make to have the wall system that you need, and it doesn't have to be all utility.
No, Jim? I mean you can skin your wall with thin sheets of metal. You can skin your wall with thin sheets of glass, stone. You know, there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of things that could happen. You could have a feature wall that's a stone wall. You could have a wall that's around your reception check-in area. I mean, there could be stone or glass or glass tile. I mean, there's a lot of things that are out there. Again, you got to look at that from a criteria of, okay, how do I sterilize it? How do I disinfect it? And what's my regimen necessary to be able to keep it clean? Nothing worse than creating a beautiful, let's say, a rough surfaced, dry stacked stone look that we walk right into and walk around. Well, you know, that is a giant sponge for germs. That's a giant sponge for pathogens and that kind of stuff. So you're going to have to basically call up Mark and get a 55-gallon drum of the Germ 24 and spray that stuff down all the time. You can do it, but you have to have a regimen in place to be able to keep it sterile, right?
That is right. I mean, you know, don't get us wrong. You know, we're architects and designers. I mean, we want to make it, you know, you want to create your environment to be just a kick butt design. But
yeah. Want it to look really good.
Yeah, that butt is who's going to keep it clean? I mean, we can go in and say, hey, you know what? I just got a huge discount and we bought a shipload of cut larva rock. They look absolutely gorgeous. Can we do it in your office? All right. Once you put it up, they look gorgeous. All right. But who's going to clean it? All right. Every little crevices that you can put up need to be maintained. All that texture wall right now is like everybody is into this 3D wall system that they put up. They look kind of cool. But who's going to clean it? You have to take all that into consideration. If it looks great, there's nothing wrong with it. Who's going to clean it? How are you going to clean it? That matters.
Now, from a more realistic standpoint, if you are painting, which probably 90% of you are, you've got to specify and pick and put up the proper type of paint. There's obviously multiple grades of paint, and there's the paint's broken into a whole lot of things, but the most important part of the paint is the pigment amount, meaning paint is made up of two things. It's made up of pigment, and it's made up of a binder that makes it liquidy, okay? And that binder holds that pigment in a liquid form until you place it on the wall, and then the binder dissipates. It either evaporates or hardens and dissolves, but leaving the pigment in place. So you have to pick the right kind of paint, which also has several different sheens. Now, when I say sheen has to do with the overall smoothness and slickness of the final surface. So at the bottom of the scale, you have flat. Flat paint has no sheen whatsoever to it. And at the top of the scale, going through eggshell satin, semi-gloss, you have gloss. Gloss paint is the shiniest. It could look like glass. It's so shiny. Okay. Now, from a cleanability standpoint, flat is the worst to try to clean. Gloss is the easiest to clean. There are some specialty paints in between which allow you to have the ability to clean something like a satin or a eggshell because it's designed to do that. But keep that in mind when you're painting your wall surface. You want to be able to clean it. Han, we've seen this so many times. We'll walk into an existing space, and you can literally can see where, let's say it has a flat or an eggshell surface on it, where they just wiped it down the night before, where you literally can see the wipe mark on there because the surface was not designed to be wiped down with a disinfectant. So you got to, again, keep that in mind.
Jim, I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I think besides painting, okay, you can texture the paint, texture the wall. Okay, one of the popular things to do. It's quick, it's easy, it's cheap. I'm not sure cheap for who. Okay, it's the knockdown, that orange peel knockdown.
Cheap for the installer.
Give me your What's that?
Yeah, cheap for the installer.
Yes. What is your take? What is your, would you recommend a knockdown? Why not?
Yeah, for wall finish, and what Hans talking about is the finish that's placed on the drywall. So we're talking about a drywall or gypsum board wall and the finish that you specify on that. You can have multiple types of finish. It could be extremely rough. It could be like stucco at the late, you know, Taco Bell, outside of a Taco Bell could be that rough. That's, you know, that's a prime example. All the way down to a smooth, it's called level 5 surface.
Yeah, level 5.
Which is you know, basically, you know, glass smooth. It's that smooth. Knockdown is where they spray texture a wall and let it harden a little bit, and then they come back with a big, long, smoothing trowel and knock down the bumps so you have flat spots. It creates very small, minute crevices for crap to get into. So from a cleanability and sterilization, it's not a good idea, because just that reason, you're creating little nooks and crannies for stuff to get into that you have to find a way to clean. Now, so a smooth level 3 to level 5 drywall finish is going to be easier to clean than a knockdown would be. Now, orange peel is a little different. Orange peel is where they spray it on the wall in such a way that it creates little bumps, but the little bumps are relatively small and smooth themselves. So that's an acceptable opportunity to make, if you wanted to put a slight texture on the wall. So that one would work, because you don't have the little nooks and crannies where germs can get into. It's more like little bumps. But the rougher surfaces, like you're talking about, where you're talking about an aggregate or texture or maybe a Southwest stucco or that kind of stuff, you got to shy away from that, because from a cleanability standpoint, much more difficult.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, if you look at your facility and you say, hey, I really like the aesthetic, keep it away from your clinical space.
Yeah.
Mainly. Okay. When I say eliminate everything and make it look like a hospital, you know, the sterile surgical suite, what we're saying is that be conscious of, you know, of the product and the maintenance of it, so that you can still achieve the aesthetic, the high end luxurious aesthetic that everybody wants, but doesn't add a couple layer of headache. And how do you maintain it? How often you need to replace it? Okay.
Yeah,
so
if you're using, you know, like you say, if you're using a criteria and what we talked about over the last several shows, you're saying, okay, my clinical operatories and maybe clinical corridor are one zone. That's the worst zone. We want to make sure that everybody within that area can easily clean and disinfect the floors, walls, ceilings, and all the surfaces that are in there. Because that's where all the potential pathogen is being generated, or at least the majority of it. The other area, your check-in, your check-out, the lobby, the entry, some staff areas, those kind of things, they're less of a hot spot. Those could potentially have some of the other features that are not as easily cleanable, but still can be disinfected and sterilized with the right protocol. So you're right. You don't want the whole thing to look like this big shiny box that's all sterile white when you walk in there, unless that's what you want. Sure, that can be done. But, you know, you can still create that very pleasing, inviting home design. You just have to think about it and do it right. Right on.
Yes, you're right, Jim. I'm sorry. It's a balance of function, you know, aesthetic, and maintenance. That's an absolute thing. It's just not so much because of the virus. but it's the right protocol. Okay, you have to look at how to clean it, how to maintain it, and it would be the right product, because it can look just absolutely gorgeous, but it create issue for you to maintain. You need to think, think hard about that. Jim?
Yeah. Now we've blown through the hour. We've only got through two of the major subjects that we had on here, so we might be looking at pushing the other ones to next week, which is fine, because this is important stuff. You guys need to, men and women, the doctors and dentists, you guys and gals, you need to really know this stuff, and just don't let somebody make a selection for you because, well, this is what we do all the time and it's the cheapest, but it might not be the best, or it might not be the right application. So, hopefully what we've gone over has been informative. You've learned something from it. Please feel free to, throw us questions. We'll do our best to answer them. You can get a hold of us through our website. Our 800 number's there. Give us a call. Sign up for the several things we have on there, from pulling down the construction guide and other stuff. And if you want to have a one-on-one discussion, you can pick myself or Han or Bill or all three of us or both of us, whoever you want, and sign up, and we can have a one-on-one discussion and talk about your particular needs. That's what we're here for. And that's what we love to do, and we definitely want to help you out. So hopefully, this has been informative. And so we got through floors, or at least a good part of them, or we got through walls, a good part of them. What did we miss, Han? Anything on those two subjects that we forgot
that we need to hit? I think we hit the bulk of it, Jim. I think we're cover the most important aspect of it is, the function, the durability, and the maintenance. So I think we got that covered. Okay.
And remember,
Han
and I don't get paid by anybody, any of these manufacturers or any of these distributors or any of these suppliers for any of these products. So, we don't get paid by them to push their product or to say, you got to use this product over that product. When we say, maybe you want to look at a hospital grade weldable seam flooring system, there's probably a half a dozen manufacturers out there that do this stuff, that make it, not just install it, but actually physically make it. Some are in this country and some are out of the country. You got to look at all of that. So it's not just a matter of one particular product over another particular product. There's a lot of good products out there. You just have to pick the right one for your particular application. I guess it's important to say because, our opinion is not being jaded by some kind of financial incentive,
and that's important. When our client, when we do design for a paying client, what's important for us is that they get the best that they that their money can buy for their project, and it's not based on how cool it looks. Okay, it's based on number of factors. Is it one, the design, the array of opportunity to make the aesthetic really shine? Will it deliver on that end? How economical is it? Is it affordable? Does it perform, according to what is, the condition where it's going to be installed? And then lastly, how difficult or how easy it is to maintain it. So all of that taken into consideration, very much like doing a treatment plan for a, you know, for a patient, because you want to get it right, right? So that we, our approach is very simple. It just, if it doesn't sound right, if it doesn't fit, don't recommend it.
Yep.
Period.
Without a doubt.
Well, excellent. So again, you know, thanks for spending the hour with us. We're looking forward to next week. And Han, you get the last words.
I usually have fun when we do this. I appreciate everybody spending the hour with us. I hope you learn a few things. And until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.